For centuries, Pacific Islanders have been sharing stories that connect us across the region. Stories from the Pacific is a weekly program that continues that tradition, bringing you deep and personal stories from a diverse range of people. Athletes, farmers, artists, teachers, activists, entrepreneurs, all united by their Pacific heritage and incredible journeys.
Listen to Stories from the Pacific on your favorite podcast app.
This is an ABC podcast.
Resorts, homes, and a newly built hospital have been washed away.
I'm just holding on for dear life here. This isn't fun.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Plan this time before disaster strike.
Every natural disaster gets worse.
Save what for dream. You must ready.
Helping your community.
Helping your family. Helping you.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Nisambolo Binaka. I'm Josiah Nanunga, based in Fiji.
Hi, I'm Fred Hooper, based in Australia, and this is Pacific Prepared.
This show aims to interweave traditional knowledge and climate change, helping you to be ready for any disaster through stories and talanoa from the Pacifica.
We take all those things and put them together so hopefully you feel more prepared for disasters.
This is all done through stories and talanoa. Talafamatala, Oloketa, talanoa, story from the Pacific. On today's show, we will hear Oloketa about how climate resilience and action in Nalowaki village, Yesawas, have been driven by the strength of young people.
And over a month since Tropical Cyclone Myla caused damage across parts of Solomon Islands and Papua New Guinea. More from PNG on that soon.
That's all coming up. This is Pacific Prepared.
We need to be prepared for the future.
Helping you stay safe.
We have built a seawall 2 times, but it did no good.
What happens when something goes wrong and how do they respond to it?
Plan this time before disaster strike.
Every natural disaster gets worse.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
There's a group of young people in the Asawa Islands in Fiji who are trying to be part of the solution when it comes to climate change and being ready for disasters.
And that has become common practice today, with many believing that young people will play a major role in protecting and caring for our environment in the future.
And that's exactly what's happening in Nalowaki village on Waya Island in the Asawas.
And I was lucky enough to be in the Asawa, to be in the Asawa Islands recently, and I wanted to find out more about these young people and why they wanted to help their community around climate change and being ready for disasters.
Let's go to the Asawa Islands off the northwest coast of Fiji's main island to find out more.
We started to transport everything during the cyclone, and only the youths, our parents are at home and the children, but the youths did the running and all in the village.
My name is Thomas Rangina, and actually I'm from Waialevu village in the Tikina of Waia, and currently living in the village and for years now and experiencing how the weather like in a village.
Tomasi, how many villages are located here on Waia Island? And if you're listening in right now, Waia Island is located towards the southern part of the Asawas and is amongst the major islands here in Asawa.
Actually, there's 4 villages in Waia Island. Yalombi village, Waialevu, Natawa, and Nalowaki. These 4 villages in the in Waia Island, and these 3 villages in Waia Sewa, here in Waia. Mostly the source of income here in the village is tourism. And As Asawa is known as, there's a lot of resort in the island, and that's the main source that we have it here in the Wai Island.
Tomasi, I believe that the impacts of climate change is also being felt here on Wai Island. What are some of the changes you've seen so far today when compared to the geographical outlook of the beautiful Wai Island over the past few years?
The climate change that I've, as my point of view, what I see is rise in sea level. That is the main changes that we have experiencing from the time that I'm here in the island. We just experience rise in sea level. And the weather too, it changes a lot. And that is the main change that we're experiencing here in the village.
So when you say rising sea levels, what are some of the effects? Is it slowly eating away trees or coconut trees that were planted along the coast front?
Before we have seen the coconut trees that is there at the beach side. Mostly before it is away from the trees, but now some of the coconut trees they fell down, so that we know that this rising sea level and it's eating away our lovely beach. As we know, it's a cyclone season. We usually know that it's November to April. And before, we used to experience rainy season from November to April, but like a few years back, we experiencing sometimes a lot of sun that mostly from November to April, and that is, we know that is there's a big change, because we used to experience rainy season or cyclone season from November to April, and there is a big change, because every year we will always looking forward from November to April, and then we will know that we will soon be experiencing rainy season or cyclone season, but from now it's like just a little bit of rain, and mostly we started to experiencing drought at times in a few years back. That is what we're experiencing here in the island.
Tomasi, I know Asawa sits along the path of some of the worst tropical cyclones Fiji has ever experienced. While growing up, I believe that you've encountered a few tropical cyclones as well. Which tropical cyclone or a disaster that you considered as most severe?
The very worst cyclone that I came across while in the village in 2016, Cyclone Winston, that is where we lose a lot of houses, and that is badly damaged, and three of my family members, their life been taken away during this Cyclone Winston, and we really lose a lot. Houses, root crops, our plantation has been affected mostly during Cyclone Winston, and mostly is the tourism industry, and mostly our resort has been closed, and the people, they lose their job because of renovations been done to the resort.
And how well are the villages prepared before a cyclone make landfall? And the form of information or the form of the medium villages usually rely on to receive updates, especially weather updates?
Mostly before the cyclone struck the village,
We were updated by the Facebook, and that's our only. We were informed by this the cyclone, and during the cyclone, we managed to get the information of the information from the media, from the radio station. That is only because we can't experience any internet connection during that time. But mostly we were able to get the information from the radio. That is a means of transporting the messages to us. That's where we can where we know where the cyclone is strike the village.
So you the villagers receive information over the radio and social media as well. What was the next step? What are some of the steps that the village head or Turane Koro usually follow or other village heads to ensure that the villages are safe or are fully prepared?
When the cyclone warning been sent to a village, first of all, our Turane Koro has sent message to every villages, and also we try to get prepared ourselves. We put shutters, and we managed to get the food prepared, and everything has been done to the village to prepare us from the cyclone. And yes, we started to get prepared, and from the village, it's just the houses that some of the houses have been blown away, and that is. But the food we were well prepared, and just to cater for us during that short time while after the cyclone which struck our village.
I believe the role of young people, youth in the village is very important as well. Do they also play a part in evacuating the elderly, and if in case some villagers who are living with any form of disability?
Yes, the youth, my youth during the time, the youth, they really did a good job. They really did. Did well in transporting the elders from houses to houses, and also we know we have to get the elders from one house, and all of us, the youth, know where that elder person is, and then so we know if something happens to that house, we know what to do to the elders. We have to transport it again during the cyclone. So, and we also experiencing the kindergarten, the school, and we try to save all the stationaries from there. So we work, the youth, we start to transport everything during the cyclone, and only the youths, our parents are at home, and the children, but the youths did the running and all in the village to get the disabilities. Some of our family members, they were living with disabilities. We managed to take them to a safer place, and our village elders as well. The elderly, we have to take them to like one house for them, but mostly we have to bring them to the community hall during the cyclone.
And do you guys have a standard evacuation center?
Yes, mostly the community hall, our community hall. That is the most evacuation center in the village.
There might be some other young people who are listening in right now from other parts of Fiji, or even other parts of the Pacific, and tropical cyclones is one of the most prevalent disasters in the Southern Hemisphere, in the South Pacific. What would be some of the key advice you would shed light on from your experience having encountered some of the worst disasters over the past few years?
Okay, my advice to the youths, and my advice to the Fiji as a whole, we need to educate residents. We have to educate residents all climate change resilience. Eh? And my advice to the youths during cyclone season or during the cyclone period. One thing that I like to advise the youth, is to take care, first of all, take care of the those people that live with disabilities and our elderly people. Because during cyclone, for us, for the rest of us, we are okay to run, we are okay to do anything during cyclone, but please encouraging the youths to look after and to see our elderly people and also those who are living with disabilities.
And that was a timely and relevant advice from Mr. Tomasi Rangina about the need to prioritize the safety and well-being of elderly and community members who are living with any form of disability before a disaster strikes, because their safety should be prioritized and is paramount, and yeah, they shouldn't be left behind. And that was Mr. Tomasi Rangina, the president or the head of the WIRE Youth Council in the Esawa Group of Islands, who shed light about his experience dealing with the impacts of climate change experience, or talking about Talanoa, about some of the worst tropical cyclones that he encountered while growing up. Tomasi Binakabakalebu, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
What's your plan? Are you ready to leave your home? Plan now before disaster strikes. Pacific Prepared.
Vinaka Joe, for your story from the Esawa Islands in Fiji recently, what was it actually like in the village where you visited?
Fred, the village is among the few villages that's located on Wire Island. That's one of the main islands towards the southern part of the Esawas. And the village is located towards the western part of the island, and it's located along the coast. It's beautiful, and the villages are not so keen to be relocated or move elsewhere, even though that the impacts of climate change or rising sea levels and some of the worst storm surges or tsunami that happened over the past few years, a scar is still visible. And what I'm fascinated, what I've learned from the villages themselves, is the drive from young people, youth, and majority of the population within that close-knit traditional setting are young people or youth. And it's really encouraging to see that they are the ones who are a driving factor or are instrumental in some of the climate mitigation measures or some of the actions they practice at the community level to ensure that their vanua, that their village, that their koro, Yabusa, is protected from the impacts of rising sea levels, and of course be ready for any tropical or any natural disaster, particularly tropical cyclone that the Esawas is susceptible to.
It's amazing to see the young people from the Esawas working together like that, Joe, for sure.
Yeah, and a lot of them, even though they work in the nearby hotels and tourism industry, but they make it their business. When they're done with their shift, they come back to the community and they give back to the community in one way or the other. And the act of communalism is still strong at that particular village. And, they aim to put together, activities that will enable them to protect their vanua and also to pass down that knowledge to the young people, to the children of Naluwaki Village on Wire Island in the Esawas.
You're listening to Pacific Prepared.
I'm just holding on for dear life here.
For women, it's always safety first. They are the first responder.
You're listening to Pacific Prepared.
In early April 2026, Tropical Cyclone Myla formed in the Solomon Sea. And for the next almost 2 weeks, it was up and down in strength, traveling about 1,300 kilometers.
And just for some context, that's like traveling from Fiji to Vanuatu, plus maybe another extra 200 kilometers. So it's a fair way.
It's a long way indeed. And it's been almost a month now since TC Myla passed through the waters of Milne Bay province in Papua New Guinea and left a trail of devastation.
Pacific Prepared, Port Moresby-based reporter Ben Kadoga spoke with Milne Bay resident Pereni Umau, who helped with the cleanup.
There was a lot of devastation left by Cyclone Myla. And I was part of a team that visited Maramatana, starting from Huhuna all the way to Taupota. And you can see the entire area along the road is it's a mess. The vegetation has been destroyed, and houses, all the gardens. So it's not mainly, not only the wind that caused destructions, but also the floods that affected gardens and water sources, all that. So I was part of the team that went in to do assessment, disaster assessment on those family households affected, and also to bring report for the district to assist. So that was mainly what I was engaged in. So we went over to the Maramatana area, and other teams went to Huhu LLG. There's seven LLGs in Olotau district. So I went to Maramatana, and then there's others that went to Makamaka, Weraura, Danga, and others here in Huhu and Suau. So I went to Maramatana and then helped with Huhu and part of Suau towards the Milne Bay and central border, central province border.
In your work that you did recently, and you've seen firsthand what disaster can do, the aftermath of it, and how the people have reacted to it, what are some of the things that you've seen which you think needs more attention from relevant authorities?
Thank you, Ben. That's a very good question. For us here in Olotau district, everyone has been talking about the wind cyclone. This is the first time ever that it has to that degree of destruction done by wind cyclone, because mostly the cyclone is in the islands, but this year it also hit the mainland. Even part of the eastern shores where I live escaped all the way to Olotau and to Suau, but that was like not so much with the destruction, but it was the Maramatana and the North Coast area. What I have seen is, I would say, the preparedness to act in times of distress, such as cyclones and other natural disasters, or even man-made. I don't think they have come to terms with it yet, because we also have reports of fish dying. We have reports of floods washing away entire gardens, houses, and water sources affected. And apart from the, and even basic infrastructure and government, there's one school in Dogura that's closed. Dogura Primary School is suspended for the year. The classrooms, everything is destroyed. So you have, you know, you need funding. You need a lot of finances towards this. So it's not only like homes and all that. You have basic government services also affected. There's a tower up somewhere in Daga or wherever, somewhere there, communication tower that's destroyed as well. That's cutting off that place from, you know, all forms of communication. So, Ben, because you see, people will, after this, you will have this disease outbreak, you'll have malaria, you know, you'll have dysentery, all those things. and you have to build bridges.
Thank you, Poranin, for that information. Now, one of the things that comes into mind is the need for awareness before, during, and after such situations like this. And I think one of the important things is in the moment of panic, people might find themselves, you know, faced with dangers. And if they have more awareness regarding how to react during this particular situation, that can save their lives. So apart from funding and also the current situation that our people are in, do you think there's also need for more awareness to be carried out for affected communities?
Thank you, Ben. Awareness is of paramount, especially for disaster, because we went out to the North Coast after the disaster struck. When we went in, from what I heard from the people, they were telling me that they thought it was just a normal wind. They didn't know it was cyclone. People didn't know about cyclone hitting Milne Bay. And it was sad because I thought, you know, awareness should have been done. And I really think the disaster office and the relevant authorities should come up with a strategy on awareness, especially just to get, visit the wards and all that. And they could liaise with their districts and their LLGs and ward development committees to do such awarenesses. So awareness is very, very important, especially with disaster, on how to be careful during in times of disaster, what to do and all that. I think that was lacking.
Thank you so much, Porani, for your time and insight into the work that you've done with your engagement with the Alotau District in Milne Bay Province. And also for sharing your experiences with us in this platform. Thank you.
You're welcome, Ben, and thank you very much.
Thanks to Pacific Prepared reporter Ben Kadoga for that story from Papua New Guinea.
Disaster is part of our life, and recovering is also part of our life.
As you see, they're smiling despite the devastation. That's how we are.
You are listening to Pacific Prepared.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Pacific Prepared. We've covered a lot of ground today, Joe, as we always tend to do, but thank you for your help as well, as always, from Suva in Fiji there. We really appreciate your support.
No worries. You're most welcome, Fred, and thank you to the ABCID management team and, of course, to you for having me in the program, Pacific Prepared. And, it's a pleasure to wrap up another episode this week. And thank you, Binakupaka Lebu, to our loyal listeners for always looking forward to our program every Friday morning. So I'll talk to you again next week, right here on Pacific Prepared. Until then, Nisa Mwadhamanda, stay warm, and Vinaka Wakalevo.
Thank you so much, Joe. Vinaka.
Pacific Prepared.
This show was made on the lands of the peoples of Stony Creek Nation in Lutruwita, Tasmania, also the people of the Vanua Uviti. Pacific Prepared is supported with funding from the Australian Government's Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade. Any views expressed do not necessarily represent those of the Australian Government. It's produced and distributed in partnership with Radio Australia and networks across the Pacific, including Radio New Zealand Pacific, National Broadcasting Corporation of Papua New Guinea, Palau Wave Radio, Fijian Broadcasting Corporation, Samoa National Radio 2AP, Solomon Islands Broadcasting Corporation, and Tonga Broadcasting Commission. My name's Fred Hooper, and thanks to my co-host in Fiji, Josiah Nunga. Please share any information you've learned today, and stay safe. This has been Pacific Prepared.